Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I want to share with you one of the great miracles in my life, one of my dreams come true. See, years and years and years ago, I knew I wanted my friends to be the people, the cosmic movers and shakers, the people that came to make the world again the way God intended it to be, and to end suffering here, and to reveal the Christhood of every being. And I wanted a friend that I could say anything to, that everything we ever did uplifted all life, and that we both came to a new level doing that. Furthermore, I wanted authors. I wanted interesting people. I wanted authors. I wanted people that I felt like when I was around, not only was I completely myself, but that my heart soared and my wings unfurled, that there was limitless good that we could be and do and give together. And I wanted my soul family. And as soon as I got clear on all of those things, I was given this blessed friend, Joanna Cherry.
Mm. Thank you, Iris.
Oh, thank you, Joanna.
Wonderful words. Wonderful. Thank you.
And the absolute, complete, and utter truth.
Mm. Yes, it's true for both of us. It's true for both of us, and such an amazing blessing, a real, true friendship for all of us, those who are listening, all of us. It's just, what a blessing, a real, true friendship.
Mm. And you don't need that many either.
No.
It kind of clears the playing field because the bar is raised.
Yeah.
The bar is raised, and I have found myself unwilling to put up with anything that, you know, I used to put up in relationship. A lot of relationships were dramas.
Yeah.
And they weren't uplifting. They were sort of, there wasn't alignment.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? They
yeah.
weren't interested in committing themselves fully to the direction the planet is going in.
Yeah.
I can't say it better than that.
Well,
but
that's a pretty good way to say it, I think.
So I just want to ask, everyone to really fully give themselves to that kind of friendships, the kind that lot of friendships, a lot of relationships, what a relationship passes for is really abuse.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of relationships are to show us, really, to be that teaching school of what is still in our conscious and unconscious that is pulling down ourselves and our relationships, you know, to learn to heal them and to move on. So even a bad relationship is an opportunity to learn from, but it sure is great when you can have a real true one.
And learn joyously.
Yes. Yes.
And learn joyously. Well, given all of that, you want to come to our real topic today?
Oh, okay. Well, more and more, I think all of us, as we move along in our spiritual path, we're opening up to the truth of the universe, of life, of the world, and aligning more and more with it. And first of all, this comes more just through our mind and through our feelings. But then we get to that place where we sort of are ready to make more of a leap and just to put our life in the hands of Spirit, all of it, and really feel it and really know it. And it's like, it kind of has a feeling of if you were a balloon, you know, a hot air balloon, and you're anchored to the ground before you take off, and then somebody releases a rope and up you go. It has that kind of feeling to it, that we've been sort of earthbound a lot. You know, even those of us who have been really spiritually directed, our egos have still been really strong, and a fear of expanding and letting go and letting God and letting go into and as God and being the God self, the divine self that we are as part of that. We've been afraid, most of us have felt really afraid to do that it wasn't safe or it wasn't real, wasn't the reality, you know, the nitty-gritty of life. Yeah, that's all very well, but that's not reality. You know, that's been an old phrase that we've heard a lot on Earth. But the fact is that heaven on Earth is the reality.
Wait a minute, what did you say wasn't the reality?
Well, a lot of people have, you know, a lot of people have said, well, that's all very well to think, you know, pie in the sky, to think in terms of heavenliness and all of that stuff, but it's not the nitty-gritty. It's not the real reality, you know. That's been a common phrase on Earth. But the fact is, it is the real reality, and that we are living in the kingdom of heaven. And A Course in Miracles says we actually are the kingdom of heaven, each one of us.
Hmm.
And so it comes to, I think, that wonderful Wayne Dyer phrase, and he probably didn't make it up, that we see what we believe. You know, we see what we believe. We believe first, and then we see. So if we believe in the kingdom of heaven as being right here and right now, then that's what we see. We stop seeing the old stuff, you know. So it's pretty amazing and pretty miraculous to start giving ourselves to spirit, to life in this new way.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm thinking when you're talking about this, just completely giving yourself to spirit, and completely surrendering all the details. Like, I've had so many to-dos and so many changes to make and so many things to learn and that have been so far outside my normal experience in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Is that I just, you know, I started out with a list that was tiny writing and it had so many things on it. I thought, you know, if I work on all these things individually, I just have no idea. It was just too overwhelming. And I completely, and I also looked like, you know, I had been working my plan for 28, 30 years, and
yeah.
And it was working, you know. Uh-huh. It was working, and then it became obvious to me that it wasn't about my plan at all,
uh-huh.
and that maybe perhaps I didn't even know what the plan was.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think you can go towards the plan with your heart's desires, and you can still have your heart's desires, but I just had to say, God, my I Am Presence, just take me, make me what you want, make me, make my life what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Show me how to do that, and just forgetting the details. There's this quote in, I forget where it is and who said it and all of that, but I forget exactly how to say it, but you'll get it.
Yeah.
It said, learn to think God's thought and everything else is detail.
Mm-hmm. That's lovely.
And so, but just backing up on that a little bit, I remember a time when we used to talk a lot about that there were so many people that believed that God's will was suffering for us.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of other people that still believe that, I think. And it's never my understanding. I always, you know, a lot of people. It's sort of a large, encompassing kind of a subject, but a lot of people think that God is sort of a puppeteer. You know, God gives and God takes away. But that pretty much denies, to me, the godliness of each of us, that we are the image of God, that we are part of God, we are divine ourselves, and that whatever we most strongly believe is what happens for us in our lives. And even if someone dies very suddenly and I look to spirit and see if I can see, I mean, and maybe they're youthful, you know, I'll see if I can see the cause. And very often it's for one reason or another, that person died early in one life and then they expected it in the next life. And then they expected it in this life, and so the universe always says yes to our deepest beliefs and expectations, and so they come forth. But one thing that can really alleviate those difficult things that we've held is when we tune into spirit, because we've all had limitations in our mind and hearts. We've all had things from the past that have burdened us and weighed us down. But when we learn to really work with spirit, then that beautiful divine energy helps us release all of our limitations, but it usually doesn't happen very quickly. It usually happens over decades, you know, but it does happen. And we more and more slough off what isn't real and are tuning in to what is real, which is a life of great joy and abundance and love and life and peace and I know there are a number of spiritual teachers who take on the karma of other people when they get really, really high and good to do that, and that's not an easy thing to do. So it's not like it's necessarily all light feelings and all of that, but it's nevertheless really being one with the God self as greatly as we can. And for most of us, that really does mean happiness. Happiness and freedom and all that.
Well, it's putting down the burdens too.
Yeah, yeah.
Just putting down the burdens. It's really giving God.
Yeah.
I said to Terry Cole Whitaker one time, I said, well, what am I going to do about this? And, you know, I was trying to be responsible and all of that. And
yeah.
She said, hey, it's not your job. Isn't that great?
That is great. Yeah.
And so, you know, to remember that it is God's job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ask God to do it through us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a really, 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 really important thing is prayer and meditation.
Yes, I agree.
Talk about that, about how to pray, Joanna, because I really love the way you do that, that you learned at Teachings of the Inner Christ.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we do ask God for giving us whatever is the best, but there is a wonderful use of our minds to call forth something that we desire. And this basic plan is actually from a science of mind. And then the teaching that I was part of, that called the Teaching of the Inner Christ, kind of adopted its own version of it and put a little bit different words to it. But it's called RUCAT, R-U-C-A-T, are the initials for the five steps of it. And the R stands for the recognition of what God is, which is infinite love infinite generosity and givingness, infinite knowledge, infinite power or ability, and just sort of the recognition of what God, Goddess is. And then the you is unification. I am one with this. I unite with this. God and I are unified. Goddess and I are one. We are the same beingness. The C is claim. I claim as being part of one with God, Goddess. I claim this that I would like to have, this home, this amount of money or more. You always say, or more, if it's something good, or a car.
In case you were thinking too small.
Yeah, you're right. So you make the claim. I claim this. I claim health. I claim spiritual growth. Whatever it is in our heart to put out for. A is the acceptance of this that we are calling for, and the acceptance can involve things like if we feel unworthy of it, if it feels blocked to us somehow, then we work to clear these blocks within ourselves, and we come to an acceptance. I accept this. I do receive it. I am open to it. I receive it now. It's here now. And of course, the working on the blocks part can take a while. It might not be something that's real easy to come right away. But it can be easy. With some things, it can be very easy and very fast. And then the T is thanksgiving, gratitude. To have this that I have called for. So the R-U-C-A-T, recognition, unification, claim, the acceptance, which also includes work on things that seem to be blocking it, and then the thanksgiving. So it's a great prayer. And meditation, just kind of being in the God space with ourselves and with our divine selves is. And Maharishi Mahesh Yogi said once that if you go out, if you don't meditate in a day, it's like going to the marketplace without any money, like going to the supermarket with no money. Like you're not really prepared, you're not really in the foundation or the grounding of truth of yourself to go out then and meet life. I like that. I always like that.
Woo! Write that down.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I love something I read in A Course in Miracles lately that said you don't need to seek for love, because love is the reality. Love is here. What you need to seek for is the things that are blocking the love, the things that are not love, so that you can release them. And then the reality, which is love, is right here with you and for you and as you and all that. I like that, too.
Well, you know, I feel like for myself I've gotten stuck in that part and then focused so much on the things I needed to clear, never feeling like I got past that, that I would create more of that, you know, just by focusing on what I had to clear instead of the end goal. So it's right. That part is kind of tricky for me.
Yeah, I think it's tricky for all of us. Gosh, there's no particular formula, I think, that works with every person. Mm-hmm. We all have our own different ways, our own particular things. But I agree with you. I think it's important to continue to focus on reality, the greatness and wondrousness of life, and then you know, do what we need to do to get ourselves into that place. But you're right, the focus is very important.
Well, I think I'm you're answering my question, and I'm answering my question too, is sort of it's very important to hold the acceptance work as a step to that which we're focusing on already having with Thanksgiving. It's tricky and doable.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. What about things that have taken a long time and then people sort of want to give up on them? And, you know, my tendency, not mine, but my ego's tendency has been to jump in there when something takes a long time and go, oh, you know what? If it was God's will, it would have happened by now.
Well, I think it's just the truth that most of us have lived many, many lifetimes, and we have experienced many limitations in these lifetimes and a lot of difficult events, difficult relationships, probably poverty, all kinds of things happening. And these, unless we were able to clear them and forgive them at the time, they have remained with us. They have remained lodged and needing healing in our hearts and souls. And so...
And emotional bodies.
Yeah, so I do. I've experienced, and I've been working pretty diligently for some, for over 30 years now on these things, and it definitely pays off. I definitely am a way, way different person than I was. And it does require patience. And I think this is where that thing comes in, that the journey is, you know, the journey is the blessing. The journey is the goodness. And if we're right here and right now and nothing is wrong, we're in our right place. This is where that wonderful, you know, the power of now and the Zen Buddhist enlightenment stuff comes in, and Gangaji and all those wonderful teachings, Suzuki Roshi, that this moment has everything. This moment lacks for nothing. When it's only when we use our mind and only when we tune into ego that we can think, and then therefore feel that something is wrong here and now. Something is missing. Something is lacking. But in fact, the truth of life is that everything is here right now in this very moment. And that, say, we're feeling something and we're feeling really bad. We're feeling fearful. We're feeling weird. We're feeling angry. Whatever it is. So if we take our focus right into that feeling, right into the anger or the fear, whatever it is, and just go right down into it without thinking, without you saying, well, I have a right to be angry because this. No, it's not about that. It's about looking deeply into the anger or the fear, exploring what it is. And when we do that, we come out the other side, and we realize that we are the opposite of that anger or that fear. We are love, or we are strength. We are peace. We are calmness. We are bliss. We are everything right here and now. So we do talk in terms of time in the clearing out of the things as we go along, and yes, that does happen, but we're not waiting for something to happen in order to be okay, in order for our lives or us or other people or situations to be okay. We are recognizing that in God and Goddess, all is complete in this very moment. So it's quite an amazing dance that we're doing here in human form on this earth. Quite amazing.
Yeah. It sounds so much more fun than, like, if you just hear a regular mainstream conversation or someone that's listening to the news. And I just have a lot more fun talking and listening this way.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage people, It says in the Course in Miracles, if you're feeling guilty, you're listening to the wrong teacher.
Right.
And that's where fear and anger come from, is guilt.
Right, or that's a place that they can come from, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I wanted to go back to just the basis of our subject, which is let spirit possess you wholly and completely. And I feel that I have done this, and I did it a long time ago, but I recommitted when I listened, read Lessons in Truth by Emily Cady.
Yeah.
And I just like to read something from it.
Okay.
It says, and I recommend people get and study and underline and dog-ear this book. I have. I just love it. It says, let spirit possess you wholly. If you will have the highest will done in you and through you continually, you will be quickly moved by it out of your present limitations, which a half success always indicates, into a manifestation as much fuller and more perfect and beautiful as is the new grain old seed, which had to fall into the ground and die. Old ways must die. Failure is only the death of the old, that there may be a hundredfold following. If there comes to you a time when you do not demonstrate over sickness, and I think this is over everything, but that's uh-huh. used as an example, uh-huh. as you did at first, do not think that you need lean on others entirely. It is beautiful and good for another to heal you bodily by calling forth universal life through you, but right here is something higher and better for you. Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is God in movement, wants to teach you something, to open a bigger, brighter way to you. This apparent failure is his call to you to arrest your attention and turn you to him.
Oh, that's wonderful. What book is that from again?
It's from Lessons in Truth.
Oh, there's that's the same one. We both have that, right?
Yes.
I need to read that some more again. That's just
page 151. I have it dog-eared, mm-hmm. you know, underlined in those pens you gave me.
And for listeners, again, it's Emily, E-M-I-L-I-E, Emily Cady, C-A-D-Y, C-A-D-Y. Wonderful, wonderful writer that really helps with all we're talking about today.
Yes, and, you know, lots of people make it real complicated to meditate and do a whole lot of different things. And for me, I just go in with this attitude. I give you possession of every condition in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask my questions and be still.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another quote from Emily Cady. Turn to the divine presence within you. Seek him. Be still before him. Wait upon God quietly, earnestly, but constantly and trustingly for days, for weeks if need be. Let him work in you, and sooner or later you will spring up into a resurrected life of newness and power that you never before dreamed of.
Oh, beautiful. Mm.
I just want to say that to people that are afraid of giving God complete possession of them.
Yeah, and maybe it helps to say it's actually our own God, our own higher self, that we are inviting to have complete possession of us. It is actually our own true self.
And not something separate from us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, remember this was written in 1886, and that's the way they talked then.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing.
It is. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing if you call it Buddha or, you know.
A favorite master, anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Jesus, anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me where we are, Miss Joanne.
Well, I think you can do that just as well as me, so just kind of feel what wants to happen next here,
okay.
What wants to be said next. I think all of us can really use that inspiration, that wonderful, happy confidence that we are beautiful, that we are loved, we are worthy. I think for most of us, we haven't felt like we could really receive all of the good that we've wanted because we have felt unworthy of it, which has kind of been a deep human unhappiness. So for us to start thinking in terms of my real self is a divine self. I am a goddess. I am a god right here on earth. And I deserve everything wonderful. I am forgiven. Nothing that I've ever done or said or felt or thought or not done is held against me in God and Spirit, which sees us all as beautiful, amazing star beings without whom the universe would be incomplete. And so this true definition of who we are, that that Course in Miracles sentence again comes to mind. It's impossible to overestimate the value of our brother, our sister, or ourselves. We are amazing and wondrous beings, and we deserve every goodness. It's not to say to not make amends if we do something that somebody feels hurt by or something, but to forgive ourselves and move on, not hold regrets, not hold things against ourselves.
Well, you know, I think one of the best ways to do that is with the Ho'oponopono.
Yeah, I
want to talk about that.
I think you're better at it than I am.
I think you're better at talking about it than I am.
Oh,
well, look, I'll just bullshit my way through, and then you add as needed. Ho'oponopono is from a Hawaiian kahuna healer that Dr. Hu Lin studied with for a number of years. And the first time he went to hear her lecture, he walked out because he just thought it was pie in the sky, as you say, Joanna.
Yeah.
So much bull, and he was disgusted. She was so out there, so crazy, he wasn't going to even listen to her. And then he went to another of her lectures and walked out of that, too, lasted about 2 minutes longer. And then he began working with her. And, you know, when you look at this, it's so easy to transform different areas of your life and other people too. But it proves that it's all inside you, and it is simple. And anyway, what he did after working with this kahuna healer for a number of years is he was assigned as a director of a facility for the criminally insane. And it was a scary, scary place, and people were drugged and in shackles because they were so dangerous. The staff called in sick on a regular basis. There was a big turnover. People were afraid to come to work and started having all kinds of psychological reactions. Excuse me. And so Dr. Hu Lin took the position that he said, here, you have to understand, I'm never going to see any of the patients. And because they were so desperate, they took him anyway. And so he went in his office the first day, and he said, okay, God, what shall I do? And his I Am Presence, his God within, said, take everybody's file out and read them, and as you are, say to them, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, I love you, and thank you. And what I get that we're doing there is that we're saying to God, please forgive me for seeing your creation as less than perfect, as less than the Christ self. Please forgive me making up another Warner Brothers movie with a high body count on this planet instead of tuning in to your reality of heaven. That's how I get Ho'oponopono.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he did this for about 6 months, and people started coming to work, and they took off the shackles, and they quit drugging people. And
It was pretty miraculous.
Yes, and was it within 2 years?
Yeah, I think he was there for 2 years, and the whole ward, pretty much everyone he'd worked with, I think except one person, was healed.
And he never, ever saw them. He sat in their his office.
Yeah. Well, he did see them. He went out and he would play and he would talk and he would, you know, just be part, and he always enjoyed himself. But he didn't see them on a one-to-one patient type basis.
Oh,
yeah.
So I wasn't clear on that part. So he goes around the world teaching this.
Uh-huh.
And the way I get it is that every time you see something in your mind, in your body, in your relationships, in your home, anytime you see anyone as a criminal, anytime you see someone as dangerous, that you just ask God to forgive you for seeing them that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when you say, I'm sorry, you're saying, I want to make amends.
Yeah.
I want to heal this. Please forgive me.
Yeah.
I love you and thank you.
Yeah. Pretty amazing, isn't it? That would heal a whole ward of criminally insane.
It's very,
very
amazing.
Powerful. And then, and Hugh Lynn also, you and I, Iris, saw him give a talk one night. He himself says, just do whatever works. He says, if it's only to say silently, I love you, I love you, I love you. And if you want to just say that to a person silently, I love you, then that also just works miracles. So however each one is guided to use it, it's fine.
Well, you know, I do that and I feel that. You know, when I go out with someone that serves me at dinner or at the grocery store, and people I meet, and I've had it slip out verbally, and it's very awkward sometimes.
Oh.
it's like, I mean, I know I don't say that to guys.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but it is miracle working.
Yes, it is. Yes, it really is. And I think that the divine within us and the divine, you know, Mother, Father, God of all, the void before creation or everything, really, it operates in the highest level, I think, in just a completely natural way. And that's why, you know, we did this wonderful Rukat thing earlier. But I think there's even a higher way, or perhaps at least, or in some situations where you just say, God, you bring me what you want to bring.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
And that's giving God complete possession of
you. Yeah.
And it's also totally trusting. It's saying, surprise me.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, there's a way to ask God for things that I just find so inspiring and has really, really worked for me. I remember when I wanted this beautiful, beautiful house, and it still just lifts my heart to think of it. Mm-hmm. And the people didn't know. They were getting a divorce, and they had two houses, and they didn't know which one they were going to keep and which one they were going to sell. And it hadn't a contract. You might have to move again in 3 months, or you might have to have it be up for sale while you were in it. And
mm-hmm.
and it was my husband and the realtor had an instant hate for each other. they had karmic stuff, you know, and they were really funny. They'd get in these raging battles on the phone. They would hang up on each other, yelling. And then they would call back real embarrassed and say, I don't know what happened. I'm so sorry. you just set me off. I mean, it was like I really tried to be the one that talked to her, you know. And and she didn't want us to have the house. And the people weren't out of it by the time we had to be out of our other house, and there were just all of these things that made it seem totally impossible. And I wanted that house, so I went over when the people weren't home, and I got on my knees on the pool deck, and I faced the sunset, and I said, Beloved, I am presence. you know that I want the highest and the best and the happiest and the most prosperous, where everybody grows the most and manifests your will the most. You know I want that. I want a place where my whole family will flourish and grow and thrive and be happy and victorious, and it looks to me like it's this house. And if it is, show me how. And if it's not, show me the one it is, quick. Because we had already had to move out. We had our fish at somebody's house. We had our cats at somebody else's house. We had all our plants in my dad's truck. It was just, the interesting thing was that Jerry got real scared and he started making offers on all these different houses and nobody'd even call him back. So we got to live in that house. And every day it made my heart sing. Every day it made my heart sing. But you know, I've gotten things like when after I got that house and I wanted it so much, I faced a crisis. I said, okay, God, how do you expect me to be in order to have this house and this emerald ring I was just given and this beloved husband and this beautiful car and get to do my work? How do you expect me to be? And I was trying to live up to that, and I got very, very sick.
Oh.
So it's that acceptance again.
Yeah, and feeling worthy. We don't have to do anything, really, to be worthy. We just have to accept that we are worthy.
Make a place in ourselves to receive it without doing anything more. I think that's one of the biggest things. In fact, let's do a RuCat for everyone's acceptance level. Because, you know, when I met my true love when I was 17, it was like I was given an ocean of love and I had a little Dixie cup with a hole in it to hold it in. I think that's the biggest work, don't you?
It's certainly a very huge part of it.
Yeah,
maybe it is the biggest.
Yeah. Well, and it's because we've disavowed our true nature and our true identity, which is one with God.
Exactly.
Now, Joanna, I want us to do this RuCat prayer because it's so powerful and so effective. But I want us to cover the acceptance thing. And I want us to cover the apparent current situation where people are in a lot of fear about finances. I wanted to say, I forget where this information came from, but that more people are praying now than ever prayed before. People that have never prayed are praying now.
That feels right.
To uplift all life.
Yes, it has. And more people are doing gardening, and more people are, you know, just living more simply, and I think all of that is really, really nice.
It really is, and it is, you know, it becomes much more simple and childlike as you evolve. Like I used to think I had to get my boys something really special and wonderful and nice and expensive and all of that stuff on their birthdays, something that was, you know, just outrageous. And I used to take them to Saks, and I used to take them to Neiman Marcus and stuff. You couldn't drag me into Saks or Neiman Marcus now. I haven't been there in years, and this was the last time I was there.
Wow.
I went with Sonny on his birthday, and first of all, there were guys walking around. There was one guy walking around in a was it was like fireman's rain gear, only it was bright neon orange and pink, I think, and it was $900. And there were people all over, walking all over this department, very, very, very important, very purposeful, and they were selling some stuff that day. I don't want to make a blanket statement, but that day there was some stuff for sale there that no self-respecting pimp would wear for $5,000. And
oh,
I just went, what am I doing here? And then I was waiting for Sonny in the while he was in the dressing room, and I went to the window and I looked down at Union Square Park, and the little child in me said, I wish I was home in the Rose Garden.
Wow.
And I think that's one of the things that people are learning now, what is truly important to your well-being,
mm-hmm.
and asking spirit to take possession of you in that way. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of things that I used to think were important are not important at
mm-hmm.
all.
I agree.
And
a lot of people don't have very much to give their kids, but love is what's important. Love and security and, you know, happiness. And that's
being proud of them.
Yeah. Encouraging them.
Yeah.
That's what's important about bringing up kids.
Telling them you love them.
Yeah.
And you're proud of them.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's the best thing you can give to everybody.
Yeah, I agree.
Joanna, tell people how they can reach you, and tell people about your wonderful books and your tapes and
okay.
the master pictures.
Okay, well, I've written two books, Living Mastery and Self-Initiations, and they are both available through my website. They're some years old now, so they're not in the stores anymore, but you can order them from my website is ascensionmastery.com. That's ascension, mastery.com. And there's CD sets on there as well, and there's a link to the master pictures. We have, I have just a beautiful, beautiful business, which I call a Dharma, which is it's like a service to the world, which is of pictures of masters and angels and deities and Christian and Hindu and Buddhist and Sufi and other kinds of masters, Buddhist deities, and they're just beautiful. They're uplifting. I've chosen them from my spirit. Spirit is what asked me to do this work. And so they're available to look at and on the website and to purchase online as a shopping cart. So the website, again, is Ascension Mastery, A-S-C-E-N-S-I-O-N, mastery.com. And I'm Joanna Cherry.
Did I never say that?
Yeah, you
the whole
did.
Time?
You did earlier.
Oh, good.
Yeah, some people tune in later in the show, you know.
Yeah, well... Well, you know, introductions have never been my really strong point.
I think you always do great, Iris.
Thank you, Joanna. I mean, it's the thing I haven't been too sure about. Like, once we start rolling, I have given it to spirit and I let it fly.
Yeah.
And I ask it be the greatest possible service to all life. In fact, I think there's a really wonderful thing all of us can do is that we ask that everything we do be an ever-expanding, an eternally ever-expanding blessing to all life.
Mm.
How could you go wrong?
Yeah, how could you?
Yeah, so I guess I want to say something about people being out of jobs and out of usual sources of income.
Yeah.
That I want us to use the root cat on this and then the acceptance, because I feel like a lot of people have been so focused on the appearance and worried about it.
Right. Well, it can be very difficult. You know, you and I have had plenty of times of worry ourselves, so we know what that is. So it is a real amazing shift to give over, to really tune into the spirit, and to God, to Goddess, to Jesus, to Buddha, whoever it is we like to work with, and say, I know that these are appearances, but they're false appearances, because God is wholeness. God is abundance of every good, and so is life. And so I tune into the truth here. Every time I think in terms of lack, I am thinking in terms of falsehood. I've been saying this a lot to myself lately, and it really, really has been helping me. So when I think in terms of abundance of good, I'm thinking in terms of truth. And I choose truth over falsehood every time. And I completely stop the habit of thinking in terms of falsehood and be in the habit of thinking in truth, in abundance, in goodness. And when we do that, it's like the heavens really, they really do open. They really can open. And all kinds of amazing opportunities come from all kinds of amazing sources or ways, because God is unlimited, limitless as to where our good comes from, just limitless. And that's what, when we focus on that and know and feel and are rejoicing in that, we let it come. We open up to it.
Yes,
so
and
it's really great.
And I think that all of us are being shown that the old ways of dealing with things do not work now.
Yeah, I agree.
And so the important thing is we're back to unification with spirit, meditation, and prayer.
Right.
And then I want to ask you, let's see, we have exactly 5 minutes. I want to ask you if you would call the violet flame for these things, all the things we brought up that are, you know, a barrier to our acceptance, to all of us accepting our good. I want everyone to just ask to be taken to your next level of good now and to accept these tools and let them work for you. So I'd like to ask you to do the violet flame and then the root cap. Would you do that?
Okay.
Before so we have exactly 4.5 minutes.
Okay.
So the shortened version.
Okay, the shortened version. So first of all, we call all of us together who are listening, if you choose to, call the violet flame of beloved Saint Germain, which purifies all of the falsehood that we have embraced, that we have believed. It just, we send it out. We call forth the violet flame now to come through the earth, to come through each of our physical and mental and emotional bodies, to clear and cleanse all doubts, all thoughts and beliefs of poverty or of homelessness or of worry or of losing a job or of losing anything that's been really necessary to have a comfortable and good life. We give our worries up. We give our thoughts of limitation. We give our focus on appearances of these things up into our own spirit to be dissolved now, to be dissolved in love and in life and in truth. And we just let them go. We let them go. We let them go. And we call forth the root cap now, the R. We recognize that the divinity, that God I am, is absolute love, is everywhere present, is all-knowing, is all-giving, is all-powerful, and is right here all the time. And that we, the unification, we are one with this. We are the same as this. We are part of God, part of divinity. We are Goddess right here in the world. Our claim is that we are well, that our family is well, that we have a wonderful place to live, that we have income, that all is totally well and fine for us, that we have health, that we have everything that is needed for a comfortable and good life. and we accept this as part of God. We are worthy of every good. We let go of our blocks against receiving having any of this, and we accept it fully and openly now and always. And the Thanksgiving, we give thanks for all of this right here and right now, and so be it.
And furthermore, all of us give thanks for a complete healing of our economy, and that the economy supports the well, that the new structure is that the economy supports the highest good, the well-being of every life stream and life form in, upon, and above the earth and the earth itself. So everything we do is for the upliftment of life, each one of us.
Mm-hmm.
We give so much thanks for this.
Mm-hmm.
Tell people again how they can reach you, Joanna. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that you do individual sessions with people.
Yeah, I do
too,
that too. Yes, I do.
They're so valuable.
The website is ascensionmastery.com, A-S-C-E-N-S-I-O-N, mastery.com. So my books and CDs are on there. You can reach me if you would like a session. So blessings to everybody. Blessings to all who are listening and to everyone in this world.
And thank you for being with us.
Oh, and thank you for having me, Iris. I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
Okay.
And to everyone, to each one of us, God bless us, everyone.
Yeah.
And may all your dreams come true and be 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Amen.
All
women, all children, and yee-haw. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you. That all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Amen, ah women, ah children, and yee-haw!